The coronavirus vaccine rollout in Massachusetts has officially begun. I have seen the word hope in social media more times today than I probably have in a month. That's because vaccines from Pfizer arrived at Boston Medical Center early this morning, and the first vaccine was administered in New York to national attention. Then, just after noon today, World War II veteran Margaret Clessens, who is 96 years old, became the first VA patient nationwide to receive the vaccine at the VA Bedford Healthcare System in Massachusetts. Are you feeling hopeful? Does this feel like a moment for you? Did you see something shift for you today? Or maybe you have lingering questions that you'd like to ask a doctor about the vaccine? And tell us what it would mean for you and your loved ones to be vaccinated. Join this conversation. You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So joining us now to have this conversation is WBUR's Common Health Editor, Carrie Goldberg, and Dr. Joshua Barocas, an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center, an assistant professor of medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine. Carrie, Dr. Barocas, welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you.
Happy Vaccine Day, Tiziana.
Right? Exactly, Carrie. All right, so let's just jump in there. Are you happy today? Are you feeling excited?
So, yes, I have to admit that I am. I feel like this is a historic moment. It's a landmark vaccination effort, and it's the first glimmerings of relief, because it's looking like the end could be in sight, even though it's still quite a ways off, right? It feels a little bit like the one small step thing on the moon, you know, that adds up to one giant leap for humanity, because we have these little mundane little shots going out. But at the same time, we've got this great new defense, and we're going to beat this virus back. So yes, I'm happy.
So Dr. Barocas, there's this video today of Sandra Lindsay, who is a critical care nurse at Long Island Jewish Medical Center, one of the first Americans to receive the vaccine. Here's what she said about how she was feeling today.
Hopeful. I feel hopeful today. Relieved. I feel like healing is coming. I hope this marks the beginning to the end of a very painful time in our history.
So how are you? I mean, were you moved? I mean, the vaccine came into BMC this morning.
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest here. When I watched that video, I don't know, half a dozen times, each time trying not to get teary-eyed, and it didn't happen. You know, this is for everyone. This has been a very, very long year, almost to the day, right, that all of this news broke. This has been a very long and difficult and trying year. And I think that's one of those videos that that will replay over and over just to get good feelings. But I do want to say a couple things. First and foremost, there have been, and I think it's important to remember, there have been thousands of people who have received this vaccine through clinical trials. This is just the one that knew that she was getting the vaccine. And I want everyone to keep that in mind, is that this is a tested and safe vaccine that thousands of people have already gotten.
Yeah, to that point, we did our Radio Boston Week in Review on Friday, and one of our regulars, Reverend Mariama White-Hammond, told us on the show on Friday for the first time that she had participated in a trial. She said, the one I got was the vaccine. But it is interesting that now we know there are thousands who have gotten it, and yet there is this kind of, as you say, Dr. Barocas, moment here. So, Carrie, we're talking about BMC, Dr. Barocas's institution. Why were they the first? Lots of big medical buildings and hospitals. I couldn't think of the word I wanted there. Why BMC first?
Well, I think we don't know that they're the first. We know that they're among the first that we're hearing about. So WBUR's Martha Biebinger has been reporting that they got two trays early this morning with 975 doses each to begin delivering this week. And they do expect to start in the next day or two and to get through about 1,000 vaccinations by Saturday. But we're hearing that hospitals across the state are expecting to get their shipments, you know, today, tomorrow, the day after. So they're part of a great big trend.
And this comes, Carrie, as we're in the midst of some of the darkest days of the pandemic. The infections are surging across Massachusetts, but today is a ray of hope. Actually, let me turn to you on this, Dr. Barocas. How do we balance those? Like, as we calibrate for ourselves, the extent to which in this moment we should be feeling anxious about the surge we're in and hopeful about what the vaccine could mean for us, how do we calibrate that?
You know, I'm not a very good runner, but and I can't do very long distances. But from what I hear from people who have run marathons is that when you round that last, you know, you head into the last 5 miles or so of a marathon, I'm told that it's both the most painful part of the race, and it's also a little bit of extra adrenaline kicks in, something in your body kicks in. And I think, you know, we've heard that analogy over and over this year, that this is a marathon, not a sprint. And I actually think that this is that moment where we're hitting that, the last 5 miles. It is painful, and there is nothing fun about the last 5 miles. There's nothing fun about what's going on. We are tired, and we are lonely, we're depressed, we're anxious, but at the same time, you know that the end of the race is coming. You know that all you have to do is keep it up for just a little bit longer, and you'll hit the finish line.
And Tiziana, Carrie, jump in. Just the light at the end of the tunnel is getting pretty tattered as a metaphor. But in fact, you know, we are in pretty dark days right now in terms of the pandemic. We're seeing, you know, about 4,000 new confirmed cases a day statewide over the last couple of weeks. We've had a few days now of over 40 deaths a day. Right now, we've got nearly 1,600 COVID patients in the state's hospitals. So it is dark right now, and yet there is, as Dr. Barocas was saying, we can see that light ahead, and it's a question of getting there.
So let's go to the phones, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Ellen on the line from Brookline. Ellen, what's on your mind?
Two things. Number one, my doctor wanted me to have, have a tetanus shot. And I remember that they, like, now they're giving away, you know, but at the same time, you know, having to have the COVID.
The vaccine?
Yeah, right. And but see, the thing is that number one, the tetanus, like you just said, a TD thing, like you said, I could get that and let's say, like I go down to
so water. Ellen, excuse me for interrupting. So let me just ask you so I can get an answer for you. Did you get the tetanus shot?
No, I didn't get it. What happened was she gave me I had my physical, and I have the sheets here with everything and the directions. And she said I mean she made it sound like I could get it, you know, any time in April. In other words, she said I'd have to get everything at once.
Yep, let's take it back from you there, Ellen, so that Dr. Barocas can tell us what he does or doesn't know about that particular question. Thanks.
Yeah, so I think that Ellen brings up a really good point, that right now, this is just one more vaccine, just another vaccine. We're learning a lot more. I would encourage everyone to stay on their regular vaccination schedule. So if your doctor is recommending, for instance, the tetanus vaccine, it's proper. It's good. It's good practice to get that vaccine. Sometimes those things can be deferred if that's what your doctor says is reasonable. But there's no reason, at least at this point, that we should be deferring other vaccinations or that we should be deferring this one from anyone that is offered it. At least from what I've seen, there has not been any reported adverse events from, you know, multiple vaccinations.
And that's quite all right, Dr. Barocas. Glad to have you answer the question. If you have a question, or if you just want to Join with us in reflecting on what feels like a very big day in the year of the pandemic. You can call 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Dr. Joshua Barocas and WBUR's Carrie Goldberg, I'm going to ask you to stand by for a second. We've got some breaking news. And so I'm going to turn away from you just for a second. WBUR's Simone Rios is with us. He has been covering a press conference that Boston Mayor Marty Walsh is having this hour, where the mayor has just been speaking about the coronavirus. Simone, what do we know from the mayor?
So Marty Walsh came on just a few minutes ago sounding very concerned. He's been in touch with Boston area hospitals, and the news they're getting is not good. He says, you know, these trends don't stop. It's going to be a very difficult winter for our hospitals. So the Boston Public Health Commission has issued a new order sort of rolling back the reopening, going into what they call a modified phase two, step two of the reopening for at least 3 weeks. So what that means is museums, theaters, aquariums, even spaces, you know, close to, you know, for gyms, for example, are going to be closed. One-on-one training is one thing that's going to continue. It's all kinds of, you know, outdoor activities, low contact sporting facilities like bowling alleys, batting cages, rock climbing, all these things will be closed. And the effort here is really to reduce activity outside the home. And again, after 3 weeks, the city's going to reevaluate sort of where we're at with the virus and then potentially make changes at that point.
Okay, so Simone, so the headline there, also the 3 weeks I'm queuing in on. This is a different rollback than Governor Baker did last week, where he took the state back to phase three, step one. This is bigger. Is it a direct result of Thanksgiving?
You know, the mayor didn't say specifically what the reasoning was. He reiterated the gravity of the situation, the need for social distancing, the need for hand washing to continue to respect these guidelines. One thing that he did touch on was, you know, for customers of small businesses to be part of the solution. We hear so many stories about small businesses struggling. Walsh is saying, you know, continue to support them, whether that's through, you know, ordering food online, however they may be changing their business model. And so he's calling on the public to support small businesses in that way. You know, one more thing that he mentioned about small businesses, there's going to be webinars starting tomorrow morning where the businesses can hear from city officials about the changes.
And just to clarify, Simone, indoor dining still a go, yes?
It is, although, you know, with the space requirements that have already been in place, one thing that does change is apparently there's not going to be any seating at bars. So that's okay. That is a significant change. Although Walsh specified that there can be special permission granted from the city to issue a waiver for that.
WBUR Simone Rios joining us from the press conference with Mayor Marty Walsh. Simone, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tiziana.
So I'm turning back to Dr. Joshua Barocas of Boston Medical Center and WBUR's Common Health Editor, Carrie Goldberg. Let me just get the reactions from the two of you to that news. Carrie.
Well, I was just starting to say what's most striking to me is that indoor dining continues, which is sort of what people have most been watching for, is whether it would be shut down because it is thought to be a significant contributor to transmission. But apparently it still will not be.
And does that surprise you, Dr. Barocas?
A little. And I was listening intently to that, too, along with Carrie, that, you know, I'm encouraged. I think that it is a time to roll back and to put in place some restrictions in the places that we know that there's a high likelihood of transmissibility. And so I do think that this sort of scalpel approach, if you will, to restrictions is appropriate. We want to make sure that people's livelihoods can continue. I hope that there are resources that are coming to small businesses. I'm very sort of, I would say, a little perplexed as to why we're not rolling back indoor dining yet, given all of the information and the data that's coming out. I honed in a little bit on that 3 week number two, and I'm struck because I know that that Boston Public Schools are hoping to come back to school at least hybrid at the beginning of the year. So I wonder if there's any thought behind that and putting these restrictions in place to get schools back open.
And just to note for listeners, today the Boston Public Schools welcomed back 1,700 additional students who are special needs learners or English as a second language learners into the school. So there has been a little bit of a change there. We are observing what Carrie Goldberg talked about at the top of the segment as Vaccine Day today with you. Call with your reactions to the rollout of the vaccine here in the Commonwealth today. And we have Dr. Joshua Barocas here. So your questions about vaccination as well. 1-800-423-8255 is the number. Let's go to Tracy in Andover. Tracy, go ahead.
I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say I work in an elementary school, and I'm just so looking forward to taking the vaccine. I'm so excited for the day when all our students can come back to school and we can have everybody together again. It's been a really challenging year, and this has just given me a little bit of hope for the future. So thank you.
That is joyful, Tracy, and thanks for sharing your excitement with us. Carrie Goldberg, we know that there are three phases to the vaccine rollout, and where do teachers fit in all of that?
Teachers are, I think, in phase two. So basically we have three phases, and they're kind of basically decided by your level of risk, like how likely are you to catch it and how bad would it be for you if you did. That's sort of the overwhelming considerations. So phase one, which is starting today, I guess you could say, includes healthcare workers, the first responders, residents and staff of what's called congregate care settings like nursing homes, also prisoners and prison staffers. And then phase two is expected to start in February, and that's people who are at high risk for complications, people who work in education, so that would be Tracy, and grocery stores and other jobs that are considered essential, and also then adults over 65. And then phase three is basically everybody, and that's expected to start in April, according to the state. So you know, coming weeks is how I think of it. Just hang on for these coming weeks.
And can I add, I think I share in Tracy's excitement for schools to get going again and for everything to sort of start to equilibrate back to some semblance of normal. I think that it's really important that everyone remember, though, that this is literally just the beginning, right? We have really only vaccinated a handful of people not in clinical trials, and we have a long ways to go. As was mentioned earlier by Carrie, our hospitals are full. You know, field hospitals are open in Rhode Island. We are still in a very dire and stressed time for the healthcare system. It is not a good picture inside those walls. So while this is a very nice, I love the vaccine day statement, and this is a great thing, we still have, and I know it's really hard, but we really have to keep trying to maintain all of these preventive actions that we've talked about for the last, you know, 9-10 months, and sort of support the community that way.
A very good reminder to temper, you know, my joy with the reality of the moment. And I do also, you talked about the field hospitals in Rhode Island, Dr. Barocas, you know, there's a field hospital up and running again in Worcester, and the state is in the process of bringing one up, standing one up in Lowell as well. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Brian on the line in Somerville. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, good afternoon. I kind of wanted to almost, you know, continue on that same, you know, I'm very hopeful this is a great day. The fact that we have vaccines going into Americans. I'm scared because, you know, I don't know that we're doing enough to prevent the next pandemic. And, you know, we've had clusters of pandemics in the past. And, you know, how do we know that, you know, the next pandemic isn't coming in 2021 or 2022? Like, how do we know, you know, how do we take the steps that we've learned from this pandemic to, you know, prevent the next one?
It's a good question, Brian. Thank you. Dr. Brokaw, I'll turn to you first, and then Carrie, you may have some you want to add on that too. Dr. Brokaw.
Yeah, I think that Brian brings up a really good point, right? We are, unlike when we were, you know, in the 1918 flu, we are seeing pandemics coming with some amount of regularity now. And there are a number of reasons behind that. But for the moment, at least there's, you know, there is another epidemic. There are multiple epidemics going on right now across the world. We have Ebola. We still have tuberculosis throughout the world. We have HIV. And of course, we also have the overdose epidemic. These are things that we are unfortunately having to contend with. I think that there will be a lot of new policies and a lot of new insight that are gained as we sort of start to close the chapter, the book on this one. I share Brian's concerns. This is something that unfortunately I think we or our children or our children's children are going to have to start to understand as part of life. But for the moment, I think I would encourage Brian to say we are in this moment. We have to make it through this one. There are established ways that we can make it through this one. And now there's one more tool in the toolbox to do so. And not to punt the question too far down the road, because we can't, but I don't want to lose sight of where we are right this moment.
And Carrie, in your reporting, have you come across discussion of these kinds of concerns and how our medical community is keeping its eye on that ball?
Yes, so I take heart from a couple of things. One is that we have learned some very painful lessons in this pandemic, and I think that our governments and our populations are absolutely intent on doing better. The first one is that our public health system, you could barely even call it a system. It had not gotten nearly enough funding for decades. And I suspect that we're going to see a big infusion of money into our public health systems and a buildup to be much more able to respond to a pandemic like this. And the other thing I would note is that the scientists that I interview are absolutely pinching themselves. They are flabbergasted at how quickly the scientific community responded to this bug. And so they, you know, they sequenced its genome within days or weeks, and then they immediately got to making the vaccine. And this mRNA vaccine platform seems to be usable for other things as well. And so there's a lot to be heartened by in terms of the scientific progress that is both behind how we responded to this pandemic and how we will respond to the next one.
So Dr. Brokaw, we had a couple questions come in on the line about pregnancy and newborns. One about whether it is recommended for a pregnant woman to be vaccinated because they were not in the trial. And the other asking about risks for women who are actively nursing babies to get the vaccine. Can you answer those questions?
Yeah, those are good questions. So, both the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as well as the Society of Maternal and Fetal Medicine, came out with statements saying that while pregnant women were not part of the trial, certainly they should be offered the vaccine once it is available to whatever phase they're in. And unfortunately, we don't have, you know, safety data necessarily on it, but everything that I have read and all of the discussions that I've had with people in the vaccine world and in the obstetrics world is that pregnant women can receive the vaccine after a discussion of risks with their physician.
So Carrie Goldberg, Dr. Brokaw, was reminding us of the sober moment that we're in, even as we get excited about and look to the hope that the vaccine brings us. So good time to just in 30 seconds or so, remind us all about the safety practices that remain important and the guidance from the state that remains important as we're in that last 5-mile stretch, to use Dr. Brokaw's running analogy.
Yes. So we are hearing absolutely universally from health officials that you must continue doing all the things you've heard a million times you have to do. So masking and social distancing and hand washing. And I would just add that, you know, just as today we're celebrating Vaccine Day, I'm really looking forward to the day when we are all so vaccinated and so immune that we can actually have what we will call unmasking day. And I personally plan to burn at least one of my masks, although I'll keep others in case there's another pandemic. But anyway, so we are not at unmasking day yet, as we all know.
And that is WBUR's Common Health Editor Carrie Goldberg and Dr. Joshua Barocas, an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and assistant professor of medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine. Great to have you both with us to mark this moment today. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.